Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, you are awesome and you are good. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the path you've led us on that brought us here to you. We pray, Father, would you open our hearts to hear your good word today? Would you do a good work in us, Father, and cause us to raise up to be champions for you in this world? We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a story from long ago about a man who had two sons. And like any good dad, he wanted to do what was best for his kids and provide for them and create the very best life that he could. And so he worked hard to create this life. He bought land and became a farmer. He worked year after year after year to make this land productive. He worked in the heat and in the rain and in the cold. He put his whole life, everything he had, into making this farm work. And little by little, they grew. And over time, they started hiring more workers and buying more equipment. They found buyers and suppliers for what they were growing. They branched out and raised horses and cattle, and the farm finally started to take off. The family went from just getting by to really starting to make a good living for themselves. And of the two sons, the older son, he was all in for helping. He wanted to please his dad. He's an older child, and he did the work, and he listened, and he followed the rules, and he worked the land and took care of the animals, and he made a life out of this farm that his dad had built. He knew that this was his future. He knew that this was where he was going to be, so he put all he had into helping on this farm. But the younger son was a little bit different. He hated living on the farm. He hated the smells. He hated the animals. He resented living in the middle of nowhere. He hated the dirt. He hated the hours. And though he went through the motions of being there to help, in his heart, he just wasn't in it. He had dreams of the day that he could finally leave this farm behind, leave this simple life and do something else. He dreamed of freedom from the life that he currently lived. He wanted to go to the city. He had these visions of moving to a place that was full of people and lights and energy and a place where he could be discovered and become famous and people would know his name. He wanted to go to a place where he could do stuff and where things were going on and meet new people and be seen by what was going on. So day after day, he just dreamed of escape. He dreamed of the freedom he would have when he was finally able to move away from this place. And then he had this idea. It wasn't perfect, but it was the only way he could think of finally getting away from the farm. He knew that one day his dad was going to die. And when his dad died, he was going to leave things equally between him and his brother. So he knew that one day he was going to come into some money that the farm was producing. But what if he just got the money now? Like, what if he didn't have to wait for the dad to go away? Like, right now he just got that money and was able to go do what he wanted to do. It might be a little bit insensitive to ask his dad, but he didn't really feel like he had anything to lose by asking. So he went to his dad and he started the conversation about this idea. You know, I'm never going to want this life. I'm never going to want to be you and do what you've done. And I don't want to work on the farm. What if you just gave me what I was going to get eventually? What if you just gave me the money you were going to leave me and we'll just cut our losses now and you can keep doing what you're doing and I won't be miserable anymore and I can do what I've always wanted to do? And it wrecked the dad's heart a little bit. But he loved his son. And so he gave him what he wanted. He gave him the money that was going to come to him eventually that he was going to receive. And with just a crazy heavy heart, he sent him on his way. Now, the younger son is totally oblivious to how upset, hurtful this is to the dad. And he's like, I cannot believe my luck. Like, he's crazy excited for what he's going to do. He's finally got the money now to live out this freedom and these dreams that he's had, to get a new life away from everything that he felt had been holding it back. So he moved as far away from home as he could. He found a new country, a new city, the biggest city he could find, and it was everything he thought it would be. It was bright and vibrant, and people were everywhere, and they were rushing around doing important-looking things. And this younger son, he wasted no time at all finding the very best place he could find to live, the most extravagant, the nicest place that he could set up life. So at night, he started going out, trying to meet people and make connections and be a part of what was going on. He wanted to be seen and meet new people, and he went to the best restaurants and the best clubs and the places where anybody famous would be or the biggest names could be found. And he lived it up every single chance that he got. There was no such thing as too much. There was no such thing as enough. He loved it all. He loved the sights and the smells and the sounds and the people and everything. And he started getting a reputation as the guy to be around. He was the life of the party, and he'd pick up the tab, and he'd buy your drinks for you, and he'd buy your meal, and people really started liking to hang around of him because he was in for everything. There was nothing he wouldn't try, and there was nowhere that he wouldn't go. And night after night, this went on. For years, this was how he set up his life, living what he thought was the freedom that he so desperately wanted, making his way in the city. People started knowing him. They knew his name, and they knew him where he went. Pretty ladies hung around him, and he was one step closer to just being famous, to doing the things that he wanted to do. But he started running into a problem, because eventually the money started to run out. He was living the most lavish lifestyle he knew, but there wasn't money coming in to replenish the money that was going out. He was spending it, and nothing was coming back in. He hadn't been discovered, no big contracts were waiting, and he started to run low. And things got tighter, and they got tighter, until the day finally came that the money ran out. And then he maxed out all his credit. As much credit as he could run up, he spent every single dollar he'd been given and then maxed out all of his credit. The bills piled up and there was absolutely nothing left to spend. But he thought, surely I've made friends, I've got contacts, there's got to be some way to get by. I know people, there's got to be a place for me. But then something funny started to happen. When the money ran out, people stopped returning his phone calls. There was no longer pretty ladies waiting to hang out with him, and the places he usually went wouldn't let him in, and doors started slamming in his face. And this life that he thought was everything started to fall apart around him. He wasn't the life of the party anymore. He wasn't even invited to the parties. He didn't even get included in what was going on. He was suddenly on the outside looking in at everything else. And then as if that wasn't bad enough, things went from bad to worse because war came to the country that he'd moved. And it was a devastating and crushing war. It ruined the city that he lived in. The comfort that they'd known was gone. The lives that they'd built around was gone. Everything they knew was gone. And it came in fast and destructive and hard. And when it was done, this once flourishing city, this country, was left desolate and ruined. What the armies hadn't blown up or burned or taken away wasn't very much. And so the people who were left, they were left with next to nothing. Every day just trying to get by in this new world that they lived. And just even trying to rebuild, it was so discouraging because it all seemed so hopeless. And then the food ran out, and there was nothing to eat. Relief wasn't coming. Everything they'd known had changed. And when the younger son looked around at the destruction, all that had fallen apart of his life, he was angry, he was sad, and he was frustrated. How could this happen? How could he go from being on top of the world, living out the dream, to at the very, very bottom? He was so bitter at the loss of everything that he'd known. It was an incredibly hard pill to swallow, this injustice everywhere that he looked. But he was also starving. There was nothing to eat, and he'd gone longer than he could even count without eating any food. And he got desperate. And he started picking around through the garbage, trying to find anything that he could have to eat. He started fighting the animals for every little scrap that he could get. And as he sat there one day on the side of the street, eating this little garbage that he could find, he was overwhelmed with shame. He was overwhelmed with the sense, how has my life come to this? How had everything gotten so incredibly messed up? And as he sat there, he started thinking about his family. He started thinking about this life that he'd left behind, the home that he'd grown up in, the farm that his dad had spent a lifetime building. And it felt like the weight of the world had sat right down on his shoulders. Life had to be better than this. There had to be more than just trying to survive, starving on the side of the road, eating garbage. There had to be freedom from the life that he had found, from the pain and the hunger and the destruction that war had left behind. There had to be some way to find peace from it all. This younger son, he sacrificed everything he had for this freedom that he so desperately wanted. But it cost him every single thing that he had. And as he sat there, dirty and broken on the side of the road, he was overwhelmed by the unfairness of it. He was lost in the pain and the regret. And in that moment, something occurred to him. Something popped into his mind. As he'd been thinking about his family and the life that he'd left behind, he remembered that the very lowest farmhand that worked for his dad had more than he had right now. He remembered that the lowest guy on the totem pole that worked on his dad's farm, he was doing so much better than he was doing. And he recognized, he said, I've lost my chance to be of son. I've been a jerk. I've burned that bridge. But maybe I could just get my dad to hire me. Maybe I could just get my dad to apprentice me on the farm, and I wouldn't at least starve to death in this desolate city. And so he started making his journey back home. And the trip was hard and brutal. It almost killed him. But by the time he showed up at the entrance of the farm, he was overwhelmed with the sense of hope in getting himself there. He was starving. He hadn't eaten in so long that he was just hollow with the pain. But he made his way down the road anyways. And as he started getting closer to the house, he just couldn't shake the regret that he thought when he thought about his family, the loss of the family that he'd worked so hard, his dad had worked so hard to make. He was overcome with this emotion about how selfish he'd been and how much it had cost him in the end. And as he came up over the hill, he saw his dad. And his dad was out working with the guys. He was out in the field talking to him. And this moment came where his dad looked over and he recognized his son. The dad looked out and recognized his son coming up the road. And the son had been prepared for almost anything, to be ignored, to be dismissed, to be turned away, to be treated with contempt. He was prepared to beg and throw himself at the mercy of his dad's feet, that he would do anything and take any job that his dad would be willing to give. But he wasn't prepared for when his dad came running down the road. What he wasn't prepared to see was his dad not running away from him, but towards him. What he wasn't prepared to see was the moment his dad reached him, put out his arms, and squeezed him for all that he was worth. What he never could have guessed would happen was the way his dad wasn't put off by his stink and his dirty and his filth, but he wept over him, his son. His dad was overwhelmed with the emotion that his son had finally made his way home. He held him by his dirty cheeks. He looked into his eyes. He kissed him on the forehead and said, I'm so happy that you're here. My son, I'm so happy that you are home. And the younger son, he tried to talk back to his dad, but he was so choked up with emotion. He was trying to get the words out and saying, Dad, I'm so sorry. I'm such a jerk. I can't believe how incredibly selfish I've been. I can't believe how I took your money and turned my back. It's the worst thing I've ever could have done. Please forgive me. I know I've lost the right to even be called your son, but the dad stopped him. He shushed him and stopped him and said, You're home. I'm just so glad that you are back. And he called out to all the guys who were working, and he said, let's get you out of these dirty clothes. Let's get you a bath. Let's get you some food. Let's get you all cleaned up. And the workers came running down, and the dad starts, let's order food. Call the neighbors. Get everybody over here. You don't understand what a big deal this is. I thought my son was dead. I thought my son was gone, but now he's home. He's back, and I cannot believe how happy I am. And as the son was taken back into the family, he knew this peace like nothing he'd ever known before. He knew a hope for the future that he'd written off as lost. And you know, in the same way that this dad loves his son, in the same way that this dad is overwhelmed with joy when the son made his way back, God loves his kids. Jesus Christ is in the business of restoring what has been lost and fixing what's been broken. And life is unfair. And when it happens in the life unfairness of life, what it breaks, Christ restores. What the pain of life ruins and destroys, Jesus Christ redeems. When life is unfair, it's so hard to feel any sense of peace. It's so hard to feel any sense of security in the world that we live. But look at what David said in Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. He said, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. David knew that even in the most incredibly hard, unfair circumstances, when everything that you knew was gone and everything that you'd clung to was left, he knew that there was a peace that comes from God you can't find in any other place. And we think of peace in so many different ways. It's the absence of war or conflict and disturbance and tranquility, but this peace that David wants us to hear, it's so much more. Because the Hebrew word for it is shalom. And the way they used it encompassed so much more. Because at the heart of this kind of peace that David points us to is the idea that everything wrong is being made right. And we live in a world where there is wrong and there is things happening that shouldn't. But this peace reminds us that God is in the business of making things right. And that when we believe this about God, when we know this to be true, that he's at work, it gives us a sense of trust and hope that's in him. And our world is crying out for things to be made right. The world right now we live in is crying out for the injustices to be made right, for the pain and the violence and the oppression and the hatred to come to an end. Our world is longing for good to show up on the scene and just change the story. For the stories no longer to be of pain and hurt and loss, but stories of redemption and peace that flows like a river. And this is what we find in the presence of Jesus Christ. So often it feels like we've given everything we have to find freedom. Freedom from pain and injustice and hurt of the past. And we long to fight our way free from all that we've lived through. We fight free from the burden of guilt and shame and the things that we've been carrying around with us too long. And it feels like this fight has cost us everything we had. But friends, here's the truth that I want you to hear today. This freedom that we long for, this rightness we're so desperate for, the peace that we all long to experience, it doesn't cost us anything because it cost Christ everything. Christ gave his life, everything he had, that we might know peace and we might know freedom. Christ endured all the shame and the indignities of the cross. He died for people who'd abandoned him. He died for those who denied even knowing him. He died for the ones who screamed ugly things into his face. He gave up his life because he was the only one who ever could. John Ortberg said, out of his remarkable brilliance, breathtaking courage, and inexplicable love, Jesus sized up a situation that defeated every human attempt at correction. He identified exactly what could be needed to bring redemption. It would cost him his life. Christ did what only he could do. And he did it so that you and I might know peace and hope and freedom. And if we're honest, there's a place within all of our souls that longs for more. There's a place in our hearts crying out, this isn't how it's supposed to be. There's a place within each of us that's crying out and desperate for a holy God to show up and change the story. And within each and every one of us, there is a spot that only Christ can fill. And it's in that spot where our greatest needs and these hopes that we long for in life rest that Jesus Christ wants to meet us. It's there that he wants to take us by the hand and lead us in the life that we should go. It's the place that he wants to meet us that reminds us Jesus Christ takes our regret and he replaces it with hope. He takes our shame and turns it into grace. He takes our pain and overwhelms it with love. He gives us new hearts to live. He gives us new eyes to see that we might experience life differently, that we might be part of the story when good showed up, that when Christ showed up and did something in us, he put us in his world to be part of the story, changing things for good, to be shining lights for him in this world when it is unfair, when it is unjust, when it is hurtful and painful. God's got men and women like us who've been so changed by the redeeming love of Jesus Christ. We get to help change the story. We get to be a part of pointing people to how awesome and good Jesus Christ is. That though life is hard, in him we find strength. That though life is incredibly unfair, we've got a refuge in Jesus Christ that's greater than anything we could ever know. When we're overwhelmed by it all, we are reminded that our hope has never been in what this world can do, in what this world can accomplish. Our hope has always been in the saving work of Jesus Christ. When we're reminded that things aren't how they're supposed to be, when we see the pain and the devastation happening in our world, we are reminded that Christ stepped in, that Christ entered into this world, that it wouldn't always be this way, that God has a plan, and God is at work making all things right. That in the end, it's not the unfairness in the world that's going to win. It's not the injustices that we're plagued with. War and destruction, they never get the final say on how this world will work. Because God is at work doing what only he could do to make things right. And in the end, God will win. In this world, we're going to face troubles. We're going to face hardship and pain, but our hope has always been in the God who's overcome the world, who's accomplished what nobody could do. And our struggles are never in vain. They're never in vain because God is making things right, and it's Jesus Christ who sees us through our most painful days. He's the one who leads us out of doubt and confusion and brings us to the joy and hope that can be found in him. When Christ told the story about a son who'd left home, about a dad whose heart was wrecked, who was lost, and the son who made his way back home, Christ had a reason for telling the story. He wanted every single person that heard it, then and now, to know something important. We have a heavenly Father who loves us and is waiting for us to come back home. We have a God in heaven who loves us more than any dad could love his kids, and his arms are wide open, waiting for us to just come back home to him. And he's not waiting with shame to heap on our heads. He's not waiting with a bucket full of guilt to weigh down our heart. In fact, he's waiting for us to come home so we can be freed from those very things that have held us back so long. When we open up our hearts to Jesus Christ, what we find is love and compassion. What we find is our Heavenly Father saying, I'm so happy you're here. I've been longing for the day that you would return home. And then we get to be reminded that because God works in these incredibly powerful ways, our story is bigger than we ever could have imagined. Because we're more than who we are in our worst days. we're more than who we are on the worst decisions we've ever made. Because God found us. He called us by name and said, "You are mine." That you don't have to be defined by any of those things. What redeems you and defines you is the awesome, loving work of Jesus Christ. Friends, our Christ is waiting for us, arms wide open, saying, "Won't you come back home? Won't you come back home and start life over? The freedom that you've been longing for, the peace you're so desperate to find, you find them in the loving arms of Jesus Christ." We know that life is unfair. We know that hard things happen. But friends, we survive it. Not diminished by it, not ruined or destroyed by it, but we survive it and thrive in spite of it because our peace in life has always been found in Jesus Christ. In Him, we've been freed and we've been forgiven. And His invitation is to all, those who are weary and worn, those who are burdened and overwhelmed, that in the name of Jesus Christ, we find rest. We find rest from the pain and the struggle and the burdens and the weight. We find rest from the injustice and the hurt of life. And in Jesus Christ, we get to know a new kind of peace. And Christ's invitation is for all. For everyone who hears the name of Jesus Christ, we get to take one step towards following Him. And some of us have never made that step. We've never taken one step to Christ. We've just kind of been a little bit weary. We've just kind of a little bit been unsure. But Christ's invitation is, won't you take one step towards me today? Won't you just open up your heart and see what might happen when Christ enters into your life and see what He might do? For some of us, we've taken a step and then life happened. And it was hard and it was overwhelming and it got us off track and we were distracted by the things we thought would help and make a difference. And it derailed us from being the men and women that we've longed to be. But Christ still has an invitation for us. Your place is still there at the table. You're still welcome in the family of God. Won't you take a step back to Him today? For some of us, we've been walking with Christ day after day after day, just trying to follow Him, but the road is long and our hearts grow weary. And what we need is the light of Christ shining in us, saying, "Do not give up. The best is yet to come." What we need is the light of Christ saying, "Take one more step, one more day, one more time. Do not give up. You just don't know what Christ might do." Every one of us are called to follow Jesus Christ. And when we do, we are invited to a peace and freedom that can only be found in Him. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for us right now. I pray that You would hear the cries of our heart. For some of us, Father, we're longing to take this first step to You, but we are afraid or discouraged or we just don't even know how. So, Father, I pray that You would hear the cries of our heart. We want to be Your guys and Your girls in this world. Father, for those of us taking this first step, I pray, would You overwhelm us with grace? Would You shine Your light down upon us that we might be a committed follower to You? Father, for those of us who've taken the steps in the past, but we've gotten off road, would You help us find our way back? Would You remind us there is no guilt, there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ? Would You show us the way back to You? Give us the courage and the strength to stay the course with You by our side. Father, for those of us who are walking day after day after day, would You just give us the hope to keep on going? Would You remind us that You are at work, that we would not be discouraged, that we would not be cynical in the world that we live, but Father, we would live radiantly because of the light that You shine in us. I pray that in this all, Father, the work of Jesus Christ would be done. I pray that You would raise up Your champions in this world, that we might be the good You can call on to enter in the story of this world, that You might do a mighty work in us and through us. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.